Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Is this where we do our weekly scream?
Yes. You ready?
One, two, three. Ah! Oh, I feel so much better.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right. We're both still blinking our eyes.
As opposed to blinking what? If not our eyes.
Yes. Well, I was going to blink my ears, but deal with as we were driving in tonight?
Oh, man. The headlights were crazy harsh.
We're going to have to talk to Tom Appel about that later tonight.
Blinding, dangerously.
Tom Appel? The publisher of Consumer Guide.
Yes.
One of the many things we'll be talking about with Tom later tonight is how to reset your car's clock.
Yes. I just never bothered. I either leave that up to you or I wait for 6 months and I'm okay. That's the clock in my bathroom, over my bathroom door. I looked up and I went, oh, tomorrow you'll be right. You're not right now. That's the easy way instead of getting a stepladder.
So, yes, we're on until 3 o'clock tonight. Well, 2, but then it becomes 3, so it's all of that. And
I had a blonde moment. I said to you, no!
Only a moment?
Watch it. The night is young. I literally said, no, we've got to work an extra hour. Mm-hmm. And you looked at me like, oh, bless your heart. And then I realized, I just had a blonde moment. Hi, Ron.
I'm enjoying the show already.
Well, be careful when you're driving home. I'm not kidding you. We had so many occasions where cars are coming at us and going, what's wrong?
Really?
I mean,
I don't know if it was the
atmosphere.
Yeah, sometimes the atmosphere makes bright lights seem more bright.
If it's kind of foggy.
But then there was the guy with the big LED lights that had them on bright as he was heading right toward us.
And, we have to get this out of the way before the show. You have to vent, right?
It was one of those moments where it was very good that I didn't have concealed carry or he would have no lights.
Steve!
If they don't have their lights on, they've got them on too bright.
That's right.
Yeah.
See?
It's hard to win.
Especially with us. It's really difficult.
That's right.
Well, we thought of you last Sunday when we were watching the Oscars.
Now, let's back up. After we got off the air last Saturday night, Sunday morning, we hopped in the car, scooted out to Munster, Indiana, to my brother Lee's,
mm-hmm.
and because Sunday was his birthday.
Right.
So we get out there, and we were trying to be as quiet as we possibly could because we didn't want to wake him up. So we unpack everything, bring it in, but then we took an hour and completely decorated his house, his table, and put up all kinds of birthday decorations.
Ron, we found mini Oscars.
Wow.
Everybody had an Oscar that came to his party.
Oh, how great.
And they were they're just so cute, kind of weighty, and they had little black bases. And so at everybody's place setting, I did black and gold was the theme, and everybody's place setting, everybody had an Oscar. And they walked in and went, it couldn't have been more appropriate for a movie nut, and it's his birthday, and it was Oscar day.
Oh, how fantastic.
And I found out how high I could reach up so we could hang over the, what are those things called?
The valance.
The big, it's like a valance, but it has
the curtain rod.
Kind of a, it's got a weird shape on the end of it. And I had to reach up and kind of try to tie the signs around that,
yes.
And of course the string is always too thin, and I get it done and it comes down.
Yes.
Oh,
but
no.
You never did make any noise, so we were able to decorate the house without him hearing us. And about 4:30 we had a little snack, and then about 9:30 the light woke me up and I realized we have people coming. I better get up now. Well, they weren't coming till 2, but I still got up anyway and started fussing with the food. And I'm going to put up the recipe tonight because I've got a picture of the blueberry cream cheese brioche French toast casserole.
Okay, Food Jones has just stomped into the studio right now.
It was a hit. It was a hit. As were the sausage biscuit balls, as were the ham and cheese quiche and the Greek quiche and the pecan pancakes.
It was a fun time.
It was. Wow. It was a food frenzy is what it was.
And you've got the birthday party and you've got the Oscars, and the Oscars were very good this year. Very entertaining.
I thought, as we were telling you a couple minutes ago, I think it's one of the better Oscars shows that I've seen in years. And I was so pleasantly surprised at Conan. He was terrific. I'm fine if they have him host the Oscars for the next several years.
Yeah, maybe they will, too. Maybe they caught on to something there. Because Billy Crystal did it for 4 or 5 years, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they keep repeat hosts coming if they want the job. And I think Conan, isn't that busy anymore. So he could do it.
He did a great interview on Kimmel's show the week before the Oscars. And he said once he finished his show, he decided that was behind him. He didn't have the desire to do another show. He wanted to do things that scared him.
Mm.
And for example, he was the MC of the Newport Jazz Festival.
Right.
He's playing very actively.
Well, not only MC, but he also played with a group there too.
Right. So he's very active with the band. So when they asked him about doing the Oscars, he said, "This is terrifying, but I've decided that's what I'm going to do with my life now. I'm going to do the things that scare me."
He was a natural. He was very, very good.
He really was.
Well, I've always thought he's okay, but I was never a huge Conan fan, but I was so impressed with everything he did on the Oscars.
Yeah, and he looked fabulous in his tuxedos, too.
Yeah.
That doesn't hurt.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Not at all. Well, we came in. It was like we had our own little gift-giving party tonight because we had a copy of Lee's book for you, Ron.
Thank you again. It looks great. I'm looking forward to that.
And then we walked in, and at your place setting, Steve, there was
You want to share what you were nice enough to get for us? This is so cool.
I was on Amazon, of course, as always, and I went to the Walker store.
As in Walker Shortbread.
Yes, as in Walker Shortbread. My sister, for Christmas, gave everyone in my family a little sample pack of Walker Shortbreads.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was over the moon with these. These are just the best shortbreads she's ever had. Can't believe that she's been missing this so much. So I went on the Walker store, and I found Walker Shortbread Scotty Dogs.
Oh.
So I bought her a pack of Scotty Dogs, and she was out. So
you went back.
So I went back. And this time, as I was looking through, I saw, oh, gluten-free. And I'm like, huh. And I read about it, I'm like, huh. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, this looks like something Steve might enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I dropped it off for you.
But I'm really curious because it says on the package, Moorish, Moreish, gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And it has the celiac stamp from Europe.
Yeah.
That it's 100%. They come from Scotland. They look so good. Don't look at the caloric content, though.
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Just I should have put a piece of black tape.
I know.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking, I'm thinking, oh, wow, I could eat 3 eggs for 2 cookies, or I could eat 2 chicken breasts for 2 cookies. But they're so good. Now my mouth is watering. So then today, not knowing that you were bringing in a gift of cookies, I decided to make my first diabetic recipe. And I bought allulose, right?
Yes.
A-L-L-U-L-O-S-E?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I use stevia.
Okay, jargon alert. Allulose does what is what?
It is a replacement for sugar.
Okay.
And, you know, I use stevia, but I was afraid stevia would have an aftertaste when you bake with it. And allulose is supposed to be great for baking, so I made peanut butter cookies. And we both, I mean, you do not like anything artificially. And
no.
You said, whoa.
It just tastes like a peanut butter cookie.
Yeah. So no flour, so they're gluten-free because it's peanut butter
and
egg,
which
was a double yolk egg. I got more for my money. And then 3/4 of a cup of allulose for 16 cookies, which is not bad, and a little vanilla flavoring, and boom, that was it. So we'll have to see what you think.
They're delicious.
Just
thank you.
Remember, it's the thought that counts.
No, I see.
Right? So it's like everybody got gifts tonight. And then there were brownies for Julian, so.
Well, they're kind of going away gifts.
That's right.
And we'll explain that in a little bit.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Right now, we're going to take a break, so stay with us.
Wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start an iron 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. And scrub till this old house is shining like a dime. Feed the baby, grease the car, and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go out and swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down at 5, jump up at 6, and start all over again. 'Cause I'm a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Sickly, you know I'm gonna make you well. If you come to me all hexed up, you know I'm gonna break the spell. If you come to me hungry, you know I'm gonna fill you full of grits. If it's loving you're lacking, I'll kiss you and give you the shivering bits. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It's Peggy Lee.
Oh, yes, it is.
And I'm a Woman. I love that song, and we played that because today, the 8th, is International Women's Day.
It certainly is. Who is playing guitar with Peggy Lee?
It might have been Barney Kessel. I'm going to have to double-check that.
Because with headphones on, that was really sweet.
Oh, that's some great stuff.
Yeah.
One of the real kicks I had years ago, I had the chance to interview Peggy Lee, and it was so cool.
Yes.
Speaking of International Women's Day.
Yes, indeed. There were a number of rallies all over the country, and our very own Julian attended the rally in downtown Chicago. Right, Julian?
Sure did. It was quite a packed house.
So where was it, and roughly how many people do you think were there?
Well, I found out later on from one of the organizers, there were roughly 5,000 people present.
Great.
At Daly Plaza at about 11:30 this morning.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So you started at Daly Plaza, and then the group actually moved through downtown, right?
Yes. Yeah, we took a turn. We went up Dearborn and went all the way up to Wacker and trotted all the way over in front of the Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm. Were there speakers? Because I think there was some talk about, they were going to talk about women's health, and there were a number of topics that were going to be covered, but with that kind of a crowd, were they able to pull that off?
Oh, yeah. They had a number of speakers on top of the that Picasso statue.
Mm-hmm.
There were dozens at least.
Wow.
And there was...
On top of the...
Right
Picasso
on the base
statue.
Of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. No. I was thinking, oh, by the top of the Picasso statue?
Yeah, they had to do the pulley.
Yeah, they hoisted them up to the top. Well, that's very impressive. And, of course, the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Were you freezing?
It was a little chilly, but nothing we can't handle.
Yeah.
It's Chicago. We can handle it.
Did you take pictures?
Oh, I took tons of pictures.
Did you? Good.
Yes. And I'll have them posted somewhere. I'll let you know where I post them.
Okay.
But I had to leave after a certain point because it was Dad's birthday dinner. They ended up going up Michigan Avenue for the remainder of it.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to your dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't remind him. He will always say he's 2 years younger than he actually is. So today he is 49.
Ah. And I had a startling realization. I could be your dad's mother.
No.
Yeah, I could, because when I was your dad's age, my mother was my age.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's all we can say is wow. No, you're looking going, no, you couldn't be my mother. No, I could be your dad's mother.
You don't look a day over 30, Johnny.
Oh, God bless you. Radio's a great thing.
You can stay.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm looking at some of the pictures from the rally. I can't wait to see your pictures, too. And this has been going on since 1977, when this date was deemed International Women's Day. And I'm glad that it was a motivating day for people to get out and just
I love
together.
That there was that kind of crowd.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see some of the crowd totals from around the country and around the world.
I'm looking to see, because it is worldwide. I was double-checking
right.
that, in fact, it is worldwide.
Yeah, it's International Women's Day.
Yeah.
And
by the way, if you want to get to us, because people have started texting, in fact, they were texting during the Blackhawks postgame show, 312-981-7200 is our number. We've got a lot of things that we're going to squeeze in this shortened show tonight. You teased our listeners with the...
Yeah.
You bad man.
A going away gift. Because next week, very short show, starting at 12:30. And it's going to be a replay.
Right.
Because we are going to be heading down to the Panhandle. We're going to be spending the next month in Panama City Beach. And not next week, but the following week, we will be back live. That will be at 11 p.m. And as we always do when we're in the Panhandle, we'll be broadcasting from the studios of WKGC-FM, high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. They are always so nice to host us there, and let us hang out. And it'll sound just like we're sitting here.
Yeah,
it's a great facility.
The drive is just different as we're we're heading into the college.
So be aware of that, because those of you who say, it doesn't look
as much. Here. You don't have as many lights as we do in Chicago. Well,
it's a different place.
It's a small town, especially compared to Chicago. By the way, I did put up pictures for our trip in tonight, using your brand new phone, which we'll talk about later tonight.
Yeah, boy, are we going to talk about that. There was a phone shopping experience.
No, nightmare is what it was. It was not an experience. It was a freaking nightmare.
But we're not going to talk about that now.
I know. I know.
We'll save it for a little later.
Every now and then it sneaks up and I have to just, you know, let it out.
Because there was a lot to let out.
It was.
I know we're teasing, but this was really, it was a wonderful... Well, we'll explain all of it later.
Yes.
Also, we will talk about the anniversary of the first cell phone and what we found out, too.
Oh, my gosh. How funny, too, because when you mentioned yesterday it was the anniversary, 1984, the cell phone was unveiled in America. Yeah. I said, well, we still have ours in the closet. And you said, what? And I walked over to the closet. I pulled out the bag that we carried through the 80s, and there was the cell phone with all the extra batteries and even the plug for the cigarette lighter.
In fact, if you want to see a picture of that, you can go to our blog, and that's stephenjohnny.wordpress.com, and that's the most recent post on our blog. So,
and some wonderful comments, too, on our Facebook page. People said, oh, man, I had one of those. And it was $4,000 when it was first released. $4,000. We talk about a phone costing $1,000 today.
We've got Steve Dawson joining us in studio. Stay with us at WGN.
It's time to let some light in. I've done enough crying. The past is gone. Is gone. Barrel down, four-leaf clover. Unwrite the message across the mirror. Kindly restate the ways and means. We're coming to the world all alone, it seems. It's time to let some light in.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that song. Mm-hmm. That is one of many songs by Steve Dawson that I absolutely love, and we're fortunate to have Steve back in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
We last saw you, I think it was back in November.
Yeah, because we were talking about the Christmas show with Muriel Anderson.
That's
so
right.
Just before.
How did that go?
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was great.
We were on the air that night. We got a lot of feedback from folks that said, I went to the show. What a great time. Took the kids. You know, it was a big family affair.
Yeah,
good.
Nice.
I'm glad.
So now are you going to get a harp guitar?
No. I can barely handle six strings. I don't know how she does it.
No. Well, you have a busy schedule coming up. We are so happy you could stop by, because we were just talking off the air. Next week on St. Patrick's Day, on Monday, you're going to be up at Space.
Right.
And doing the music of... Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, yeah.
That's just so perfect.
Yeah.
And you're bringing a lot of your friends to the show, too?
Yeah, I've got Chris Green. You know, he's a jazz saxophone player. Alton Smith playing keyboards. I've got John Abbey playing bass. John Mead. I know I'm going to leave some people out. It's a pretty big band, so with horns and keyboards and singers, yeah.
We're so lucky in Chicago because we got so many talented musicians.
True. We do.
It's very true.
They don't feel that they have to pick up and move to one of the coasts.
Right? No,
they stay right here.
And if you've never been to Space in Evanston, it is one of our absolute... I'm not just saying this. It's a great listening venue. The acoustics are great.
The sight lines are great.
And the seating and standing and everything. It's just a very cool place. Yeah. Easy to get to.
Even the standing room in the back, they give you a little ledge to lean on.
Yeah.
You're not just standing there.
Totally.
And you can get decent food, so it's the all-around good thing.
Yeah, no, I love it there.
So blatant plug, if people want to get tickets, they go where and do what?
I would go to evanstonspace.com. That's probably the most direct way to get tickets to that show. But if that's confusing, you can go to my website, which is stevedawsonmusic.com, mm-hmm. and there's a link right on there, too.
And you're also hanging out at the Old Town School of Folk Music. You're doing some teaching?
Yeah. I'm 20 years now teaching at the Old Town School. Yeah.
Are you teaching songwriting or guitar?
Both. Both. So mm-hmm. I have three songwriting group classes and like six guitar group classes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's good. I love it.
Do you have equal number of females that come up for guitar playing? I want more girls to come out.
No. I would say it's almost even.
Good.
Maybe it's more like 60-40.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because every time, back to Muriel Anderson, we've talked over the years about, she'd say, well, there's just not a lot of us out there.
Yeah.
And then that was 25 years ago, and she said, well, I'm seeing more. Definitely. Oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of us out there now.
Well, and there's a lot of my current favorite singer-songwriters are female, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has Taylor Swift had any effect on the women, the fee people that come to you to learn?
I would say so, yeah. And has been for the last 10 or more years.
Hmm.
Like I had younger, like teenagers that were showing up for private lessons, wanting mm-hmm. to write songs because they were huge Taylor Swift fans or just wanted to learn how to play guitar.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, that first... She's been around a very long time at this point. So her early fans are now into their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, they're still taking classes. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a really positive development because it's, you know, it's about making real music and writing songs and singing about yourself and what's going on in your life and being creative. And, it's great.
Has Taylor Swift... And I don't mean to be staying on Taylor, but I just happen to think, has she changed a lot of newer people's approach to songwriting? Because her songs are so personal. As opposed to the years ago, the Brill Building, we're going to write a pop song. Now it's, this is what I went through, and I'm putting it into my music.
And I hate him, so I need to write about him.
Well, that aspect of it, the sort of finger pointing, sort of like I'm a victim and it's your fault.
Mm.
I'm not going to blame it on her. I think it's just a cultural thing.
Mm.
But there is, you know, that is a thing. I would say the effects that I've seen are more sort of long storytelling in songs mm-hmm. and a lot of words. Like her songs have a lot of lyrics. Which, again, that's not all her. That's also a result of bigger cultural trends, mm-hmm. including hip-hop. But, I think it's... I mean, it's all a positive, and things, you know, things move along. But, yeah, like those sort of, like, classic, what you're talking about, like, Brill Building, 2.5 minute,
right.
Get in, get out.
Catchy mm-hmm. tune.
Nice melody. That kind of stuff... I guess it still exists, but things have changed, yeah.
Where did you get your approach? Because your approach is, it's personal, but you're also painting on a little broader palette sometimes.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I grew up in the 70s, basically. So whatever was... popular music then would be the thing that I...
The best music, in my opinion, ever.
Like people like Van Morrison. I mean, I loved Jackson Brown and Neil Young.
Sure.
And Carole King. Mm-hmm. And whatever was on the radio, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, all that stuff, you know. So I think I'm always just trying to get at whatever... feelings I had when I was listening to that music and loving mm-hmm. it so much. It was just sort of like there's something in there that I'm trying to get at.
Do you do what a lot of songwriters do? Keep a tape recorder or a pencil or something with you? Somebody says a catchphrase, oh, that's a song. I got to do that.
Well, I should do it more these days. I mean, it makes it so easy because on your everyone has a smartphone, and I have a smartphone with a voice memo app. So what I and a lot of songwriters do is you make voice memos, but then you don't catalog them or name them. Mm-hmm. So everyone I know who writes songs has like thousands of unnamed voice memos. And a good friend of mine, a great songwriter named Steve Hughes, he recently went through them all and edited out and named ones that he liked to, that he wanted to keep. And I think now he's making a record of his, you know, the favorites.
Yeah. I was just thinking all of those little snippets would go into a song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just blend them all together.
Well, maybe, yeah. That'd be fun to try.
Steve Dawson is our guest in, yes, on St. Patrick's Day, Beautiful Vision, the songs of Van Morrison will be performed in Evanston at Space. And you can buy tickets by going to the Evanston Space site or to Steve Dawson's site.
And very quickly, before we impose on you and ask you to play a little music, if people want to get involved with your teaching at the Old Town School, is that all booked up already, or can people still take advantage of your classes?
The songwriting classes are full, but the guitar classes, there's always room.
And private classes as
sure,
well.
Sure, private lessons, yeah. So if you could, the Old Town School's website is oldtownschool.org, and if you search my name, you'll find all the stuff I'm doing.
Okay. Good, great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's hush up and let you play something
right,
for us.
This is a song that was on my last record. It came out almost a year ago. The record is called Ghosts.
Maybe it's the weather changing so quickly. Maybe it's the shockwaves still running through me. And maybe it's the wonder I know I once felt. The rushing sound in my head when the lights went out. Maybe it's the memory, the blurry amber glow, the pitching of the mainsail, the fire down below. Maybe it's the life force, oh, jealousy be damned. Craving explanation, please tell me who I am. Maybe it's the chemicals in my blood, in my brain. In the river, in the treetops, scribbled notes to numb the pain. Gallium germanium in the palm of my hand. A dog in a raincoat, a goat screaming like a man. Maybe it's the chances, the random crush of time, dulling down the edges, the will to fight resigned. Maybe it's the failure to find a better way. Maybe we're all strangers in the cold light of the day. Maybe it's a question, is this really happening? Have we learned nothing? Here we go again. History on a pinwheel, the blinking of an eye. Hand me down my walking cane, kiss the boys good night.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yes. You never did that for us in studio. And that was the cover of your album?
This song was called Walking Cane. Yeah, this is the...
From the Ghost
from
album.
Ghosts,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Out last year, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was summertime last year when we first had
exactly,
you on
yeah.
after 100 years.
Yes, totally.
What was the inspiration for that?
Just a bunch of questions. I was sit down to write a song and think, like, why don't I feel like writing a song? So those were all the possible reasons of why I don't feel like writing a song.
Oh, that's great.
It just came sort of pouring out. So, you know,
I just wanted you to keep going. I was like, okay, just
There's always more questions. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of a movie started playing in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
The dog in the raincoat.
Right.
And that's wonderful imagery.
Yes. And so that album came out last year, and that wasn't that like number 6 for you as a solo performer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, on Pravda Records.
On Pravda Records,
so it's readily available.
Very much so, yeah.
And Ghost is the title of the CD.
Yes.
And your wife, Diane, did the cover art,
she
right?
She did.
Yeah.
She's done almost all of the covers of the records, both my records and Dolly Varden records.
Yes, for folks who don't know you, prior to being a solo performer, you were with her.
Yes.
And Dolly Varden was very popular around Chicago.
Yeah, that was our band from like 95 to, well, I mean, in theory, we're still going. We just haven't played any shows in ages, but yeah.
Wow. That was so good. Thank you.
Oh, man. Thank you.
I want to go home now. I'm like relaxed. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Our work is done. Yeah.
Yes.
I believe, didn't I see on your website that you and Diane are doing a couple shows in the not-too-distant future?
Well, we did a show at a place called the Red Room, which is this cool little place in Wicker Park. We did that last weekend. We have some stuff coming up later on in the year.
Oh, you have a show coming up at Simon's in Andersonville,
right? Yeah,
that's
for my birthday. Yeah, every year for my birthday, I play at Simon's.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was raised right down the street from Simon's.
Yeah, I love Simon's.
I love that neighborhood.
Yeah,
except for parking.
That's with the three of the Dolly Vardens. So I call that band Almost Varden.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's me, Diane, it's Matt Toby on drums, Mike Bradburn on bass, and then Alton Smith is playing keyboards and singing harmonies.
And so, for folks who are saying, Simon's, what are you talking about? It's a great little place on Clark Street.
Yeah, Clark and Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, north of Foster.
Just north of,
Real easy to find. Been there forever.
Yeah. It was originally a speakeasy.
Yeah.
In fact, the owner took me down to the basement once, and they still have the counter where the speakeasy was.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, you almost like to go ghost hunting down there.
Yeah.
Steve Dawson is our guest. We're going to take a break and come back with him here on WGN.
Everybody's got some. Digging out from under this mess.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Steve Dawson. Steve is nice enough to hang out in studio with us. He brought his guitar, and that is from what album? Old California.
That's also from this record called Ghosts, which came out almost a year ago, a little less than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still available through your website?
Very much available. It's on Pravda Records, which you can get it in stores all over Chicago and probably in a lot more places than Chicago.
I saw it listed at Walmart.
No way.
Yes.
Well, all right.
I got to ask you if you knew that. Because that's kind of it's kind of a kick when you realize, oh, somebody decided that there was space for me too,
totally.
Which is good. Yes.
Yeah.
We mentioned the show that you're going to be doing on St. Patrick's Day up at a Space in Evanston. Beautiful Vision, the songs of Van Morrison. You got a Van Morrison thing you'd like to
Absolutely.
Lay on us?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for the show. I've been a fan forever, and I pitched this idea to Space, and they loved it, so... let's see, here we go. I can hear her heartbeat from 1,000 miles, and the heavens open every time she smiles. And when I come to her, well, that's where I belong. And I run into her like a river song. She gives me love, 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 crazy love. She gives me love, 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 crazy love. She got a fine sense of humor when I'm feeling low down. When I come to her, when the sun goes down, take away my trouble, take away my grief, take away my heartache in the night like a thief. She give me love, 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 crazy love. She give me love, 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 crazy love. And I need her in the daytime, and I need her in the nighttime. I'm gonna throw my arms around her, kiss her, hold her, kiss her, hold her tight. And when I am returning from so far away, she give me such sweet loving, brightened up my day. Well, it make me righteous, yeah, make me whole. And it makes me mellow down to my soul. She give me love, 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 crazy love. She give me love, 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 crazy love. She give me love, 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 crazy love. She give me love, 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 crazy love.
That was a perfect choice.
Oh,
because
yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Oh. Yes, 1970.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was on the Moon Dance.
It was.
Album.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great
Wonderful album.
Album. Yes, oh, yes, yeah. Yes. And I have a memory of Ray Charles and Van Morrison doing Crazy Love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was...
he was inducting Van Morrison into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
I think you're right.
And they ended up singing
wow.
Crazy Love together. And it's on YouTube.
Okay.
It's pretty it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's Ray Charles. Wow.
That must have blown Van Morrison's mind because he's
yeah.
you know, I think that was one of his favorite singers growing up.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I think they probably chose him. Yeah. But gosh, I love that song so much.
Oh, man.
And then when I got into radio, it was considered an oldie. I'm like, nope, that's on high rotation in my world.
Right.
Yes.
What's the best concert you've ever seen?
Weirdly, well, I don't know if it's weird. I think it's Joan Armatrading.
Really?
Yeah.
Where and when?
I don't know if that was the best concert, but it's the most memorable and the one that I just, like, think about.
Because you didn't hesitate. That's...
No.
Yeah.
It was at Park West.
Okay.
Probably in the early 90s, maybe.
Huh.
I didn't really know her music that well. Diane was a fan, and we went, and I knew... I mean, I knew she was good. But, yeah, it was... I think she just came out. She was radiant. She sounded amazing. The audience... Like, she had the audience in the palm of her hand the whole time.
Hmm.
People were just, like, loving every moment of it. It was just... Yeah, the energy was incredible. She sounded incredible.
So you walk out kind of high from just all that good stuff that was going on for a couple of hours. Yeah, wow. You, we played a little bit of California. You were actually born in California,
yes.
Right? But you grew up in Idaho, as I recall.
Well, I lived in San Diego from when I was born till when I was about 12, and then Idaho from 12 or 13 till I went to college. And I went to school in Boston.
You went to Berkeley, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went, and then I was in Boston for a few years, and I came here.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to stay here?
Diane.
Diane, yeah.
But also, like what we sort of talking about, I mean, Chicago is this incredibly rich city full of just... You know, incredible music, musicians, creative people.
All kinds, too.
And opportunities. And it's affordable.
And places to play.
Places to play, like venues and support from people like you. You know, back when I first moved here, XRT was supporting local music.
Right.
The Reader was great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's different now, but I think it's there's also... A lot of support in different ways now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think if Dolly Varden actually started in Chicago in 95,
yeah.
I looked it up. We first had you on in 95.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, because I remember when I found that date, I was like, oh my gosh. And one of our conversations was not Dolly Parton, but
right.
Dolly Varden
mm-hmm.
and the fish
yes.
and the story about the fish that's a Dolly Varden. And
yeah.
That was wonderful. And then the last time you were in here after many, many years, I said, so how's your daughter, who was just a little kid when you brought her into the studio?
Yeah, there's everything wrong with this. She should not. She should still be that little kid.
Yeah, it's proof that time is marching on.
Yeah.
Because, Angel is 33.
Oh, stop.
No. No, I'm sorry.
She
that's
was
wrong.
Eight, you know? Oh, golly.
Oh.
Okay. By the way, we mentioned the Simon Show. The show at Simon's in Andersonville, that's in April.
April 6th.
6th, okay.
Yes, Sunday, April 6th.
You can find all of that information on Steve Dawson's site, and you can connect to his page from our page,
mm-hmm.
Our Steve and Johnny Show page.
We wanted to do a blatant plug for Fitzgerald's.
Yes. Yeah, I'm doing a show at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, which is another of
Berwyn.
Our favorite places in the world to play music.
Yes.
With my good friend Phil Angotti. It's a double bill. His band, my band, and that's April 19th.
Okay.
So, yeah, tickets very much available for that.
Yep.
And it's going to be a great show.
And I'm looking at your website, and everything's listed on your upcoming shows there.
Fantastic.
And links on how you can get tickets, too.
And again, don't forget for St. Patty's Day, as you celebrate my mom's birthday, go up to Space in Evanston. You'll see Steve in Beautiful Vision, the songs of Van Morrison.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we cut you loose.
Yeah.
One more live
tune
for
me. One more song from
yes.
Ghosts.
Good.
See, I'm doing songs that I don't usually do. So that's why I actually have the lyrics here.
Songs you wrote, you have the lyrics.
This is called It Was a Mistake.
It was a mistake. We're paying for it now. We were running in place. We were moving backwards somehow. Nobody's thoughts and nobody's prayers will ever erase the evil we watched. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. The trees engulfed in flames. I shook you awake until you cursed my name. And by the time the sirens arrived, you'd already made your escape, blameless and free. It was a mistake. A tidal wave, a butterfly's wings. I suppose it was asking too much to think you might do the decent thing. It was a mistake. You were lying the whole time. Our trust was misplaced. You left us there to die. Still we breathe and walk around and try to ignore the ache. But everybody knows it was a mistake. It was a mistake.
Wow.
How did that song come to life?
You know,
was it the idea or the chords or what? Because there's some nice jazz stuff going in there.
This song, I had the lyric. It was a completely different song. The music was completely different. It was more like...
mistake.
And it's like, oh, that didn't work. And then I tried this like full on kind of like Neil Young Crazy Horse version. It was like this big loud guitar rock version. And I was like, well, that's pretty good, but it's still not right. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll try like a, well, we were talking about Ray Charles, kind of Ray Charles-y, soul kind of, and it's like, ah, that worked. So,
because I could hear Ray Charles, I could hear Sinatra doing that. I mean,
well,
just the jazz chords you put in there.
Wow,
that's,
that would have been.
That's nice.
Oh, mackerel.
I mean, that's a, it's got to be a 3 o'clock in the morning smoky lounge.
Right.
I'm there. That's wonderful.
Wow. What's the story behind the title of the CD, that song and the one you did earlier, Ghost?
Well, it was just, I didn't have a title for a long time, and I just was looking over all the songs and trying to make connections between the songs, and there was just a lot of people in the songs that are no longer with us, and maybe things from my past and memories that were kind of ghostly. There's, you know, so it felt like the word that kept coming back as I tried to describe the feeling of all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it cathartic when you get the songs done, you've picked out the order of the songs, now you have a title for the CD, and you're like, this baby's ready to be born.
Yeah. And in fact, putting the songs in order is hard.
Yes. Really,
that's one of the hardest.
It is.
Hardest things.
And it can make or break a CD, too.
Well, I mean, I like to think so, because I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
Does it matter as much? I mean, I agree. I love to listen from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day of Spotify and people just jumping back and forth, does it have the impact that it used
to? Well, I'll tell you what. I had the song that I sang first, that one called Walking Cane. That was going to be the opening song in the sequence that I presented to Pravda. And because of exactly what you're talking about, with the way that people listen now,
mm-hmm.
he's like, Steve, you got to put Time to Let Some Light in first. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the single, that's the first song people are going to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Catches your ear.
So I rearranged some things to accommodate that. But I was going to have it be more moody, starting with the moody, sad song. But he's like, those days are over, my friend. So
yeah, we recently got a CD and they ended with a really sad song, and I go, wait, I'm just enjoying this, and all of a sudden it's like boom, and we're done. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, we both said, and a lot of thought didn't go into this, because now I'm not in such a good mood.
Okay.
And it makes a difference if you're listening to the CD from beginning to end,
right.
Which we do.
What are you listening to now?
I'm a huge fan of the band called Hooray for the Riff Raff.
Oh.
Okay.
And they just moved to Chicago. Their last record is great, and I'm blanking on the name of the record, but there's a song on there called Buffalo that I love. There's a song called Alibi. I love Waxahachie, the band Waxahachie. You'd probably like them.
I've heard of them, but I haven't heard them.
She's a great songwriter.
I'm liking Hooray for the Riff Raff.
Hooray for the Riff Raff, yeah.
Where did they come from to end up in Chicago?
I think a lot of places. New Orleans.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, I'll look them up.
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's very cool, too. They end up here.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
What's, other than live gigs, what's in your future? What are you excited about? New songs, new album, what?
I'm working on songs for a new record now and trying to think about that. I also have this backlog of songs over, from like 40 years of songwriting. That ones that didn't make it on records, and I'm sort of thinking maybe I'll do something with those.
Because,
mm-hmm. Time is... don't have unlimited time. And there's some good songs that never got recorded along the way. So maybe that's something, but I am actively working on songs for another
project. Do you write every day? Or
no,
try to?
I wish I did, but no.
Yeah. When you do write, do you sit down? Are you disciplined and say, okay, it's writing time?
Well, I have to force myself into having deadlines. So I create deadlines by meeting with friends and saying, look, like everyone has to show up with a song, or booking a recording date and saying I'm going to have, five songs by this date.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, a time will just kind of drift.
Do you ever wake up and either a whole song or at least a significant amount of the song is in your head and you have to run and put it down?
Well, that happens to me in real time while I'm like that song Walking Cane that I played. I just sat down with the guitar and started playing those chords and the song just sort of like bleh, just appeared.
Bleh. That's the technical term. Bleh.
Yeah, it is. But I don't... No, I'm not a morning person. It takes me a while to
You're
wake
singing
up.
My song.
And music is not what's happening in my head when I wake up. It's more like, oh.
But I've actually done that where I had to get up and go to the computer now and put these lyrics down because they'll be gone.
Yeah.
I envy you. I look at you and like, really? That's actually good. And you did that while you were sleeping?
That's great. It's great. Creativity is fascinating.
It really is. Yeah. Well,
before we let you get out of here, blatant plug, the who, what, where, any events that we haven't mentioned that you want to mention?
I think we've covered them all. Yeah, we've got the van thing next Monday, Simon's on the April 6th, and Fitzgerald's on April 19th. I think that's everything.
And classes at the Old Town School.
And yeah.
And you can check them out at the Old Town School of Music.org.
OldTownSchool.org.
.org.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And where people should follow you on Facebook,
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I'm on Blue Sky, but I'm just sort of a lurker. I just read things. I don't post anything.
Blue Sky is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I was never a Twitter fan.
No.
So, and it's just maybe better Twitter.
I mean, yeah.
I get information off of it. Yeah. Yes, but I think of all of them. I mean, I like Facebook, even though it's gross.
But you're very active, so people can find you there.
Yeah, because I have a lot of funny and interesting friends that post a lot of things, mm-hmm. and it's like keeping in touch. It feels like you're having conversations, and when it's good, it's really good. You know, you can laugh with people and all that kind of stuff. But when it's bad, it's horrible.
Well, thank you for visiting with us tonight. Yeah. It's really been a treat. Thank you so much.
It's always fun.
Yes. It's always great to see you all.
Steve Dawson, our guest tonight.
To do that when I hear something like this. Longtime Chicagoans and fans of Sid McCoy will get that reference. But that is one of Tom's cartoons. Now, who would this Tom person be? Well, the Tom person would be your Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. Hi, Tom person.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being had.
You're looking pretty. You're looking marvelous tonight, Tom.
Well, thank you. A fresh haircut will do that.
I'm going to say, do an audible. How is your mic set up? Because it sounds a little
like you're in the basement.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
And you sound like
basement-y thin with a little ambient sound.
Like you're a very small man with a very small voice.
All right. Let me see what's going on here. I've had very bad luck with this computer, and I bet you I can fix this.
Okay.
And that's not something I ever say about computer stuff.
Well, I was teasing Tom about looking good tonight because I think we just lost him.
No, I'm back.
Okay.
But I haven't fixed it yet.
Tom got a new haircut today, and so he posted on Facebook that he was ready for the show tonight with his fresh haircut. Either our show or the prom, right,
yes.
Tom?
Yes. Yeah. I felt really good. I left the barber shop, and I felt good. I smelled good. that smell of Clubman is unmistakable. And guys know what Clubman is.
Well, girls do, too.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You go on a date and you realize your date just had his hair cut because he's reeking of Clubman.
Now, and you say Clubman because Clubman is also a car, right?
That's true. Yeah, that is a mini product.
Mini, yes.
Cooper.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was just discontinued, actually, which is a shame. But people didn't buy enough of them. But it was a small, wagony thing with kind of stable-style rear doors. It was a great car, really a lot of fun, but didn't really appeal to American audiences, sold in very small volumes.
Which I didn't understand, because when we road-tested it, every time, if I was in the Jewel parking lot, I would get people walk up to me and say, "Tell me, what's this car? Oh, I love it. It's so cute." Everybody talked about how cute it was. And it was. And it was fun to drive, too.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
they were fun cars. I remember we had some fun with it. Excuse me, on the drive, it just kind of felt fun driving down the drive.
What are you driving these days, Tom Appel?
I am in one of those cars that you don't get that excited about, but it's super important, and that's the new Subaru Forester.
Oh yeah,
so that's been updated, and an interesting car in that Subaru long known for its character, right? Kind of a gravelly engine, and maybe a little bit more feel from the ground than you might expect, but, you know, deadbolt reliable, fun to drive. They've kind of moved a little bit up the refinement scale for 2025, and some of that character might be gone, but I think there's more broad appeal here than there used to be.
Comfortable?
It is very comfortable. I'm a big guy. I fit just fine. It's comfortable. It's quiet. The interior is also nicer than Subaru interiors used to be, which is nice.
Now, was this a sport model?
No, this is just a top trim level. Very well equipped. Looks good interior. Nothing sporty about it at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the steering's a little too light. I think some enthusiasts might be put off by that.
I'm looking at an article. The Subaru Forester offers pet-friendly accessories. We asked a dog if they're any good. That's what a reviewer writes. We actually asked a dog if the accessories were any good. You got to go there, Tom. You really do.
Yeah, and, you know, we're big into the dogs now because my daughter moved back home after college with a big dog.
Oh, really? So
that's a thing we're dealing with now.
Wait, I thought you were cat people. What's the dog's name?
The dog's name is what is it, Echo, which is an apt name for a dog that barks a lot.
Okay.
People can check out What's New at Consumer Guide.
Oh, gosh, lots of stuff. We have a new podcast that went up Tuesday. We've got a new one going up this week. This week, too, people might really listen. We have Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions, one of the industry's most trusted analysts. We're going to be talking about the ramifications of not only the tariffs, but the impact of simply going into and out of the tariffs. At some point, this is going to take its toll. So Sam knows a lot about this stuff. It'll be a great conversation.
Isn't the whole business of how the tariffs are going to affect the auto industry still really gray? I mean, isn't it kind of anyone's guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, the crazy part about this is the 30-day reprieve, because absolutely nothing meaningful can happen in 30 days. You can't move a factory. One of the things that happened, and you guys might remember this, but in the 80s, when the Japanese competition for the American carmakers started to get serious, one of the things that happened is that Americans started to adopt, American car makers, Japanese-style management techniques, including just-in-time supply chain techniques. And that means that there isn't much of a supply chain. Everything needs to get to a place it's going right away. There aren't big warehouses. There isn't a lot of stuff in the supply chain. And this keeps costs down, right? You don't have a lot of capital tied up in parts that aren't being used. The downside is that if things shut down even for a day or two, you run out of parts. And that's where we are in the American industry right now. And you can't move a factory from Mexico, you know, to South Carolina
or
in 6 months.
Yeah,
you can't do it in 2 years. It's far more complicated than that. So this 30-day reprieve means almost nothing. There's not a lot manufacturers can or will do at this time.
And let me back up, because before, and correct me on this if I misspeak, before the just-in-time way of doing things, particularly the American, at that time, Big Three, they used to just build out like crazy. You would have, in some cases, months' supplies of unsold vehicles because this was the build order. And it was not a just-in-time. It was, here's how many we're going to build. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to sell this.
Yes. There was a time, you guys might remember this, at the end of the year, it might have been September or October, General Motors still had 1 million cars in inventory from the previous model year. And that's when we started to really hear about big rebates. They were kicking in big time because they had to get rid of a lot of cars.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight with Tom Appel, talking cars. If you have a question, you can sneak in at 312-981-7200. We have some texts coming in for Tom right now. We'll try to cover all of that, some recall news, and some more cartoons here on WGN. Thank you.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And we're digging some of Tom's cartoons. And we forgot to mention what tonight's cartoons theme is. Tom, it would be what?
Milt Jackson Madness.
I like that. That's some good stuff.
What was that tune?
That was Isn't She Lovely, off the album Soul Fusion with Milt Jackson and the Monty Alexander Trio from 1978.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So much stuff to get to tonight. We want to spend a few minutes and talk about Tesla is been in the news a lot lately.
Not having the best days.
Yeah. And you have a few thoughts on what's going on with Tesla?
Yeah, there's something. And I thank you guys so much for letting me vent about this, because I've been thinking about it, and I just want to sort of talk to some people about this and bounce this off of them. One of the problems with Tesla right now, and I think that a lot of the Wall Street analysts aren't looking at this correctly, Tesla has a huge issue all over the world. Chinese buyers have stopped buying Tesla. Western European buyers, in a huge way, have stopped buying Tesla. Tesla sales this year are down 70%, 70, in Germany, while electric car sales are up 30%. And they're down in the U.S. Now, we don't know how much yet in the U.S. because Tesla doesn't report sales in the U.S., so we have to wait for registration information to come in. So usually Tesla sales numbers trail the market by about 2 months, but they were down last year. And one of the problems we have here, and it's a problem when I say we, that America has here, is that Tesla has become one of the largest manufacturers in the United States. They employ 125,000 people. There's all sorts of people related to distribution and not so much sales, but marketing. As much as we are angry at Elon Musk, and we might be, and as much as that we delight in what's happening here, or maybe we do, we don't want to see Tesla fail. I mean, this is really a part of the American landscape, and they were a pioneer in building electric vehicles. And there's a huge support system of manufacturers and suppliers as associated with Tesla. I'm frustrated by the fact that I'm sort of delighting in the fact that Tesla is tanking, but realistically, that's not a thing anyone really wants to happen here.
And also, isn't it uniquely difficult in Tesla's case, because on one hand, some of Tesla's sales slide has to do with politics, but I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, an equal amount of Tesla's slide has to do with quality.
Quality, and then modernity, really. Tesla's had its share of quality issues, and we've seen those really massively with the Cybertruck. Mm-hmm. But the other problem is that Tesla's product line is really, really old. They sell four products, not one of which has ever been completely redesigned. Though the Model Y, which is their very, very popular small crossover, is being freshened this year. But they have been very slow. Tesla's been so obsessed with, the company's been so obsessed with growth, they haven't really done much with the products they had. They've been just trying to expand sales. So they've been dragging their feet on this, and now it's hurting them. And there's a lot of new product out there, and there's a lot of good product out there.
So really, they're to blame then if they're not updating the product and word gets out. I mean, who's going to rush out and buy one if this is, you know, an old vehicle? Technically, it is old if it hasn't been refreshed.
And I'm trying not to make a political statement here. I'm, as we all are, well aware of all the politics. But isn't the bottom line that the buck stops on Musk's desk? He's the one that is responsible for whether it's the politics or the automotive quality or any of this stuff.
Right.
He's the one that is responsible for the sales slump.
I've been asking, yes, and I've been asking the question out loud, when will the Tesla board fire Musk. Mm-hmm. His obviously he courted the political right last election in the United States, and the buyers of Teslas tend to be politically left. So that was bizarre, and it seemed to be alienating buyers, and that's exactly what happened in Germany as well. Tusk, I don't know how many people know this, but Musk was endorsing the far-right party in Germany last election wave, and I believe they won, but that lost him a lot of German voters.
So the far-right didn't win. They did
but
well.
They came in second, and they scored a higher percentage of the votes than they've done in years.
And a higher percentage than anyone thought they would.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know why he's being so actively political. It's very strange. It's hurting car sales. The other thing that Tesla has at the moment is absolutely no plans for a new product. They were talking about a $25,000 car. That's not going to happen now because they can't go into Mexico to build cars for a bunch of reasons. One being that they have too much capacity in the U.S., so they can't build a new factory. But the other thing is this plan that they have to build a cyber taxi or you know, an autonomous ride-hailing vehicle, that technology is not there yet. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're dangling in front of investors as a future product, and it's not coming soon.
So, in your opinion, is the Tesla reputation having a negative effect on Rivian, Toyota, other vehicles where people are just going, well, you know what? I'm just not going to go there.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy today who was looking for an electric car. It's just a colleague at the health club. And he won't talk about a Tesla now. He's done. He's looking at a Rivian. So that's interesting. I don't think that this has brushed off on other electric vehicles. Actually, I think this is an opportunity. And one of the interesting things that's happening, too, is if you check online and start doing searches for used Tesla Model Ys, they're a bargain right now. Yeah. It seems like people are dumping their cars in pretty serious volume.
Separate from car sales, what about the Tesla charging system, which has become the de facto standard for all electric vehicles? How is that being impacted? I've seen some news reports where some of the Tesla charging stations were being vandalized. Well, yeah, I get that you're trying to send a message to Tesla, but you are also hurting other electric vehicle owners who need a place to charge their vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, vandalism is crazy anyway, but to vandalize Tesla charging systems is to hurt the electric vehicle movement
in general.
Overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't just hurt Tesla. And in fact, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, one of the pioneering mainstream EVs, now comes with the NACS, the Tesla system, as standard. So that's the first car out with that now. So I don't know why we'd want to punish the owners of those vehicles.
And didn't General Motors say that they were also adapting that system? And General Motors is more and more, particularly with Cadillac, becoming more and more all electric.
I think the Cadillac Vistiq, which is a small crossover, smaller than the Lyriq, coming out soon, is going to have the NAC system. So that'll be the first GM with it.
Well, a quick question on the subject of charging stations. A listener asks, if you go to a charging station, are they like gas stations where you get different prices from one station to the next?
You kind of, I don't think you do from station to station in the same region, but I think you do state to state. The big difference is, do you have an account with that particular vendor? Because there are deals that get you much more favorable charging rates if you have an account. And sometimes you pay $5 a month or something like that, but they will lower what you pay because you can pay as much as 60 cents a kilowatt hour, which is robbery, if you just use your credit card at one of these stations. And you can get that down to the 30 cents range if you have an account.
Huh.
Is there also a difference that you pay for charging time?
Depends where. Like in Illinois for a while, it wasn't legal to resell electricity by the kilowatt. So it was being resold. It was being sold by time. So time on the charger. And that's, I think in Illinois now, every one of these chargers now charges by the kilowatt, which is a better way to do that. But that can vary.
Well, my final thought on the subject of Tesla, I literally thought this yesterday when a news story came out once again, because there's a story every day. Mm-hmm. What about Nikolai Tesla's family? Aren't they ticked off about his name being abused? And guess what? When he died, that was it. There were no descendants. So there's no one to get upset.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I literally looked it up because I thought, doesn't he have great grandkids that are angry about this?
He was the branch of the family tree, and
yes.
when that branch
yes.
left, there's no more tree?
Nope. Nope.
That guy's such a mystery, too. He left behind notes and research that no one understands.
I think they call
that cool.
a genius, is what they're yeah. kind of saying. Yes. Tom Appel is our guest. We are talking cars, and we do that a couple times a month. We will come back and continue. We've got some recall news coming up and a whole lot more here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, and we're listening to some of Tom's car tunes. And who is that and what is that?
That was a piece called Stablemates off the album Bags Meets West, 1962. That's Milt Jackson and Wes Montgomery. That is a fantastic album, by the way. If people like that cut, they would love the whole album.
I knew right away that's Wes, because Wes has such a unique tone, and for a little bit of guitar geekdom, he never used a pick. He only used his finger, and it gave him a really unique tone.
There's a different sound, too, between yeah. a pick and the different materials of a pick versus your fingers, she said, like she knows what she's talking about.
And she does.
Wow. Tom Appel, a listener says, did you say you're driving the Forester, and is there a review available?
Not yet. There's plenty of reviews out there, but mine will be up probably inside the month. I hate to drag it out that long, but I've got a lot of reviews to write in the meantime.
Okay. Well, good. Something to look forward to.
It'll be a positive review, though.
Okay. I sent you a couple of questions from our listeners.
Yeah.
Should we tackle a few of those?
Yeah.
Okay. Listener says, please explain the difference between the hybrid and plug-in hybrid. He's considering the Lexus NX to replace the RX, and does that require premium gas? So a twofer there.
Last question first. For some reason, Lexus plug-in hybrids do require premium gas. That's a piece of bad news. And though you don't actually have to use it, you totally want to do that while you're under warranty. So...
Let me hold you there. Why do you want to do that while you're under warranty?
You just want to make sure that you're completely complying with the warranty and using premium gas. If that's required, you should do that. The thing is that about modern engines, there are almost no modern engines left except for extremely high-performance cars where the engine will not become aware of the octane that's available and simply adjust the engine accordingly. So if you don't use 91-octane gas, instead you use 87-octane gas, you might notice a reduction in horsepower.
And wouldn't they, given all the computerized systems, wouldn't they be able to tell what kind of gas you'd been using?
I don't think that's one of the things that's tracked. That's a great question. I don't think that's in the data that is kept track of.
But just be aware.
Careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do what the manufacturer wants you to do.
Listener says, do you know about the International bringing back the Scout?
Yes, this is a fabulous story. Scout was, of course, a product of International Harvester through 1980.
Oh.
And it was an awful lot like a Ford Bronco or a Chevy Blazer or mm-hmm. The Dodge, forgetting the Dodge's name, but... It was an SUV, four-wheel drive. International sold a lot of these to, like, contractors and things like that because they were selling a lot of commercial equipment. That name ended up in Volkswagen hands when Volkswagen bought International and started changing the name to Navistar. For 2027, I think, Volkswagen is going to start producing a pickup truck and a crossover. under the Scout name in the United States, and they're going to build them here too. And there's all sorts of controversy surrounding this. It's a very interesting story. Because this is a separate brand, and Volkswagen claims that this is not a companion division to Volkswagen, it is a whole new company, they intend to distribute cars outside of the traditional dealership system. And there are critics out there who are claiming this is the only reason Volkswagen is doing this, is to develop a sales arm that doesn't go through dealerships. So there's that. But they have released pictures of the vehicles. They look great. Actually, there are prototypes, so people want to look for pictures of those. They're good-looking trucks. And the other part of the story that's so interesting, Volkswagen has had a terrible time developing electric architecture for its electric vehicles, so they are buying the electrical architecture for these vehicles from Rivian, and putting a lot of money in Rivian's pocket.
You talk about Volkswagen wanting to develop a dealerless arm. Our long-term question, are dealerships on the way out? Because we're hearing more and more car manufacturers that seem as if they want to do something different and not necessarily have the expense of a dealership. Is that the deal?
That is, yeah. Dealerships do cost some money. And when the auto industry was young, you know, younger, manufacturers didn't have the money to develop a sales arm, so the dealership model worked really well for them. But moving into the present, one of the things is that manufacturers don't have control over the price of their vehicles, which can be a big problem just in terms of maintaining relationships with the general public, because a dealer can charge what he wants for a vehicle, and sometimes they charge too much, and sometimes they're not always above board. So these have been headaches for manufacturers, plus there's markup in between too, right? Jim Farley, CEO of Ford, once said that it costs him something like $2,000 a vehicle to sell a vehicle through the franchise system. So that is what Volkswagen wants to avoid, and that's what Rivian and Tesla and Lucid and all these other companies are avoiding by going direct to consumer.
But I don't understand how this really helps them in that. Don't most dealerships make the lion's share of their money through repairs?
And if repairs and used cars.
Yeah, and if you're going to buy this SNAZmobile, but then once you've bought it through the manufacturer, where the heck do you take it to have the maintenance done?
Oh, that's a great question. And if you check any Tesla message board, you will see that people have a hard time getting their vehicles fixed, especially if they live far away from one of the Tesla stores. And additionally, it's been argued, and I like this argument because it's interesting, that Tesla hit a wall in terms of selling cars because they were starting to reach sort of mainstream shoppers who really wanted to test drive a vehicle at a dealership and know where they can get their vehicle repaired close by. Now, this is less of an issue in Chicago where there are stores nearby. But if you even get out to central Wisconsin, I don't know what you do.
Interesting.
That kind of dovetails with a response that I was giving to a listener that says, I don't understand your disdain for the Tesla. Yeah. If I was in the market for a car, that's what I would buy.
I saw that.
And I said, well, if you listen, we were talking about how, Tom, you said, this is a company we don't want to see fail here in the U.S. There's a big picture here that's not being addressed if the company fails. As far as the car is concerned, it hasn't been updated, hasn't been refreshed. Now, add to that difficulty.
And there has been significant quality control.
And difficulty in getting it fixed or taking it, like you said, if you live in a small town USA, that's going to be really hard to get that addressed.
So why do you want to buy a widget that doesn't have good quality and that if the widget breaks down, you don't know where the heck you're going to go to get the widget fixed?
And the argument is that you don't, and that the early adopters and the people who were brave and people who really wanted to buy an electric car, or for a while, people who were just impressed by Elon Musk and Tesla, they went out and took this chance. But to sell more volume than they're currently selling, they would need to reach a more broad mainstream audience. And I think that that broad mainstream audience isn't interested in dealing with the complications of not having a dealership nearby.
Right.
Particularly when you're going to spend what, minimally for a new car today, I'm being charitable, what, minimally between $30,000 and $40,000?
Yeah, and the average new car price now is, what is it, transaction price is $48,000
now. Whew. Mm.
Yeah, wow. It's high.
Who wants to put up that much money and not know what kind of quality you're getting, and if there is a problem, you're not knowing where you're going to get it fixed.
Mm. Yeah, it's a risk, and I don't think that most mainstream shoppers are willing to take that risk. And we'll see how that works, but this is probably holding back companies like Rivian and mm-hmm. Lucid. But those buyers aren't buying a first or second car either. These are very wealthy shoppers.
Hmm. We're going to take a break and come back. Tom, do we have any recalls to mention tonight?
Two big ones.
All right. We'll do that coming up right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, and we're listening to some of Tom's car tunes. And Tom, before you say what that was, I'll tell you what it reminds me of.
Okay.
Night in Tunisia backwards.
Okay.
What was that?
Night in Tunisia, one of the most covered pieces in jazz history.
But who was that and what was it?
That is Miles Davis and Milt Jackson off the album Miles Davis and Milt Jackson from 1955.
I just bought this album.
Yeah, they noodled that one for a while.
But literally, as that was playing, I'm hearing... Oh, well.
But backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Some recalls. What
yes.
you got?
Yeah. Two big ones. The first one, Volkswagen and Audi are recalling the ID.4, that's Volkswagen's electric small crossover, and the Q4 e-tron, which is Audi's small electric crossover. They're mechanically related. 61,000 of these are being recalled because the gear selector may show that it isn't park when it's really in neutral.
Oops.
Yeah, yikes. Big problem. There's a rollerway issue. That recall announcement goes out April 15.
Another reason to always put on your emergency brake.
Yes, it is.
Which nobody ever does.
Case. Yes. No, no one does.
We had that
ever.
Conversation the other night with someone that was talking about, yes, she got a call, and she was told that her car was in the neighbor's lawn, on the lawn, and it turned out when she parked her car, she did not turn the wheels toward the curb and did not have the emergency brake on, didn't hit anyone or anything, it just coasted down this little incline and turned up into the yard and just stopped in the neighbor's yard.
It wanted to go for a drive.
I couldn't imagine looking out the window and not seeing anyone, and this car is just slowly moving down the street.
So the other big recall is?
This one sounds like a recall from 1973, but it's not. The Kia Soul and Kia Seltos, two small crossovers from Kia, and excellent little crossovers too. 140,000 examples from 2021 to 2023 may have problems with their piston rings.
Huh?
That's right, the piston rings, a thing we never talk about anymore. But the problem is the ring can be bad. And for people who don't know, the ring is on the side of the piston and kind of keeps the oil in the engine and separates sort of the crankcase from the cylinder head. It's an important piece, but they seem to never fail until now. But 140,000 units, engines may have to be replaced. And the word goes out April 4th.
Mm.
I was just checking on a text. A listener was asking about the Volkswagen recall that was back in February. Wasn't it something like 100,000 vehicles recalled because of fire risk, as I recall? The listener wanted to know, are those recall notices coming out, going out? I would imagine since that was back in February, right?
Yeah, it seems lately it's about a month out now.
Okay.
So, yeah, those should be in the mail.
And I did look it up. The Volkswagen recall affected models, the 2425 Atlas, the 2425 Atlas Cross Sport. And, yeah, in fact, you're right. It would be sometime later this month or early in April.
What else are you driving?
I just finished driving a vehicle that I don't want to be disappointed in, but I rather am. And that is the 2025 Nissan Altima. That is Nissan's midsize sedan.
Really?
And it competes directly with the Honda Accord and the Toyota Camry. And it is frankly not as good as those vehicles. And it's sort of hard to make the case for the car. It's roomy and comfortable for a big guy. It's kind of fun to drive, but the interior isn't as nice. It's not as quiet. It's not as comfortable on the highway. It really is kind of the second tier player in that class. The good news is there are rebates available on them, and it's not a bad car. But I think if you're looking at the Altima, you definitely want to look at the Honda and the Toyota as well.
Boy, there's the review. It's not a bad car.
I've been so flummoxed by how good everything is lately. Yeah. It's almost refreshing to drive something that isn't awesome.
Oh.
But Nissan has had a problem with just for several years. What is going on with Nissan right now?
There's a lot going on with Nissan, and they made some big mistakes following COVID, too, where they overproduced 2023 models that they were still selling deep into the 2024 model year. So that was a big problem. Additionally, they've just kind of lost the consumer. There's so many good vehicles out there. And in the U.S., too, if you're an Asian car maker, a Japanese car maker, you should have a hybrid model. They do not. And hybrids are very hot right now. Half of what Toyota sells is hybrid, and a lot of what Honda sells is hybrid. So they're kind of lost there. And on a global case, they're losing stuff. They're losing market share in a lot of markets. Actually, this coming week, we will probably see the CEO of Nissan step aside after the failed attempt to merge with Honda.
Well, so that merger is kaput.
It is because, it's interesting, the total cap value of Nissan is $10 billion. The total cap value of Honda is $50 billion. So clearly Honda is the bigger company and the one that's better respected by, you know, by markets. And Honda had sort of expected that Nissan would become a division of Honda. And Nissan's like, no, this is a merger of equals, and it's clearly not. And now Honda refuses to continue with any sort of negotiations until the Nissan CEO steps aside.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's messy. Is Nissan long for the world?
I don't think it's that bad. I think what the worst case scenario here for Nissan long term is that they become kind of a niche player and they start producing only small cars. Their small cars are very good. The new Kicks is really good. The Nissan Sentra is very good. But these are small cars that don't make a lot of money. And they need to make their money in the United States. And that's where they don't have that much competitive product. Now, they do have a brand new Armada coming out. And that's their big truck that's about the size of a Suburban, something like that. That can be a profit center. But it probably won't sell in big volume. It'll sell and it'll help them. But they need stronger stuff in the middle of the lineup. And people aren't considering the Pathfinder, which is actually kind of a nice truck. But buyers are not flocking to it, unfortunately.
Every time I hear anything about the Armada, I think of the first time we saw the Armada, and it was in one of the weirdest colors. It was, do you remember that, Johnny? That we were going to see Doyle Dyke someplace, and we were road testing an Armada, and it was this weird, it wasn't an orange, it wasn't brown,
don't you remember somebody walked up to us, we were in a parking lot, and they tapped on the window and said, "What's that color? I want to get that car," and we just busted out laughing.
Yeah.
We're like, really? It was like a big pumpkin on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Sort of a rusty pumpkin.
Yes.
And was this the first generation of the Armada?
It was
kind of an ugly vehicle.
Yes. Not as ugly as the Aztec, which Steve loved, but that's a different story.
Hey.
I said,
now they're collectible.
We are not buying one of those. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be seen in the Aztec, but it's cool. No. One final question. Did you say that your guest last week on the show was the futurist?
No.
We once had a futurist on the show. She worked for Ford.
Okay.
And she did some really interesting research into what Ford should be thinking about 10, 15, 20 years down the line. No, we haven't had a futurist on the show in a long time. But it's a real job.
But you're thinking of the conversation that we had with Tom off the air.
Yes.
When we were posing a kind of an insurance question about self-driving cars.
Right.
Yes.
And, Tom, I think we should get a futurist on the show in the future.
I did have a conversation with the folks at Auto Pacific, which is a West Coast auto research company. They do have some numbers about insurance costs for seniors as they get older and some projections about when we might actually go autonomous. But whether or not we're coming close to a place where you can drive an autonomous vehicle without a driver's license, no one seems to be guessing.
Right, because our question was, if you have bad vision and you can't get your license, will the time come where you could get a self-driving car?
And could you, as the I can't drive because they won't give me a license person, mm-hmm. could you buy a self-driving car? And if you did, how would that insurance be handled?
Yeah, my take on this is that if you own the vehicle, you will be responsible to drive it if you have to. And I don't know how that works, because one of the things when we talk about a level 5 autonomous car, it doesn't have a steering wheel. So clearly, law and reality have not met yet.
Uh-huh. Well, do all car manufacturers have futurists on staff?
I think the big ones do, yeah. And I think the name sort of mystifies what they do, because after talking to her, her job is fascinating. And she makes some wonderful projections based on data. And one of the most interesting things she said is that there's nothing about moving to autonomous vehicles that will reduce the need for vehicles, because the total number of vehicle miles traveled is expected to keep increasing, which would just wear out products and we'll need more product. I'm like, wow, I never thought about it in that way.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, how can people find you?
Oh, check us out at consumerguide.com. And I am Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky.
And don't forget to spring forward.
Oh, yeah.
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 We will be talking to you again next from Florida in 3 weeks.
Yes.
In 3 weeks. Okay.
Yep. All right. Thank you
Sounds
so much.
Good.
Appreciate it, Tom.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.